it over again?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Good.
I think we're good.
We know who's in attendance, so.
Okay. Moving on to number two, approval of minutes for February 21st, 2023. Do you hear a motion, a second?
So moved.
Second. And,
yep. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anybody oppose? Motion passes. Thank you. Moving on to number three, reports from the chair and staff, starting committee chair.
All right, Lori, this is Matt. Since Peter hasn't been able to join us today, I can lead off, followed by Pauline. So I just have a small number of things for you all today. Thank you so much for joining today's meeting, especially to our special guest from the human services field. It's great to have you here with us today for today's discussion. Very pleased to announce, and I'm sure many of you saw the announcement already, and I'll announce it again at tomorrow's policy board meeting. Very pleased to announce the appointment of Caitlin Palmer as our new Director of Regional Planning and Development. That is a new position that we created this past year, similar to some department head positions we've had in the past. But Caitlin will be overseeing a team that is dedicated to supporting the needs of our land use and economic development community. And you may recall at the start of the recruitment, we talked about having a conversation about those services here at this committee. So I think in the coming months, we're going to want to continue that conversation now that Caitlin is in that position. And Caitlin will begin those duties on April 1st. She has worked at CROG since 2018, most recently as a principal planner. She is an AICP. She has a graduate degree from Columbia in planning, an undergraduate degree from James Madison University. And just really excited about Caitlin's appointment. We had a very good group of candidates. We were very, very fortunate in that regard. I was really impressed by Caitlin's enthusiasm and passion for the field and her thoughts and vision for the future. So really looking forward to inviting her to a future meeting of this committee and continuing that conversation about how do we best serve our land use and development community. Secondly, I wanted to mention that another thing we're working on and would ask you to keep your eye out for, Aaliyah Miller and Laura Rosenbluth and I, we're going to be looking to organize a meeting with the communications professionals or the PIOs in your various communities. And we understand that many, if not most, of our communities do not have a dedicated person to that role. In that role, you know, maybe somebody in the first selectman's office or in the town manager's office filling that role. And we'd very much like to meet with those folks just to talk about efforts to promote one another's communications, you know, how we can best support you in terms of your communications and looking for you to do the same with CROG. We can talk about social media strategies, any number of things. So expect to see a communication coming on that in the coming weeks. And then lastly, I wanted to mention that we're going to have a very important conversation at the policy board meeting tomorrow, a presentation on our waste management project. Recall, we've retained a couple of consultants to assist us, RRS and Tetra Tech. They're going to be presenting a summary of their report to the policy board tomorrow, as well as some recommended next steps. And those of you who are on the policy board, really hope you can attend tomorrow's meeting because I think you'll find it to be quite informative. That's what I have, Lori, and would now turn it over to Pauline to talk about our progress with the RPIP applications.
Oh, Sorry, Matt, I didn't mean to step on you. So with regards to the RPIP, I have been meeting with some of you and been in contact with some of you with regards to various different projects. With the building official, we are going to go forward with a per diem option, and we will be advertising for part-time per diem positions so that the towns can sort of access on an as-needed basis for the building official. We're working on that aspect. For assessment, we're still in discussions. If anybody's interested in shared assessment, please contact me. And that is one area where we're looking for willing partners and participants. With regards to the ACO, our plan originally was not to start that project until this fall, but a need has arisen in Newington and Wethersfield. And so if there's anyone who has an immediate need that might make sense in terms of that regional location, please contact me. We may start that a little bit earlier than expected. So those are my updates with regards to RPIP. Once again, if you're interested in participating and you haven't talked with me yet, please feel free to reach out to me.
Thank you very much, Pauline. Lori, I see that Peter has joined us now. I don't know if he has a report this month or not, but happy to take any questions that members may have.
Perfect, thank you.
All righty. Thank you, folks. Pardon my tardiness. So I don't hear any questions for Matt or Pauline. Thank you, Lori, for getting going. So move on to item four, our business presentations. And first item looks like we're going to talk about is the Human Services Coordinating Council. And Matt or Pauline, do you want to provide a background? This does have some history, going back about 7 or 8 years now. So.
Yeah, Peter, this is Matt. I'm happy to lead off and then to ask Pauline to add to my comments. And really appreciate the fact that many of you invited your human services professionals to attend today's meeting to assist in our discussion on this item, because really we're looking for some input and guidance from this committee regarding the future of Human Services Coordinating Council. So for those of you who aren't familiar with it, this was created back in 2014. The legislature asked all councils of governments across the state to create these regional Human Services Coordinating Councils, really to encourage collaboration and to focus on, note this, a client-focused structure for health and human services in the region. And under the statute, the membership in the councils was to include various state officials or their designees, developmental services, social services, children and families, mental health and addiction services, correction, education, and public health. That's a pretty broad group, and think there, the request is that these state officials would attend these meetings in all 9 councils of governments, you know, arguably a significant burden, as well as the executive director of the court support services division of the judicial branch. So we started pursuant to state statute. We started running these meetings back in the spring of 2015. The attendees were primarily the human services directors and employees from our member towns. Interestingly, we've never had a state official attend the meeting. So some of the things we've talked about in the past, we've talked about dial-a-ride, we've talked about hoarding, human trafficking, the opioid crisis, general mental health issues, and I think most recently, panhandling. So the committee hasn't met, or the council hasn't met in a little while. You know, in order to comply with the statute, I believe we need to meet twice a year. And we're looking for your input in terms of how we think the council could be most helpful to our member towns. You know, a couple thoughts that we have is that we could do the minimum to comply with statute, you know, meet twice a year and invite a guest speaker, you know, perhaps someone from the United Way, perhaps someone working in the addiction field that we think would be interesting, perhaps food share, you know, meet twice a year, invite a guest speaker to share information. Or another idea would be to convene a meeting, try to encourage a healthy attendance and see what the folks who are attending, what their interest is. You know, is there a short list of priorities, maybe 2 to 3 to 4 items that they would want to focus on over the next couple of years? So those are our thoughts right now, and would ask Pauline to add to my comments before we open it up for discussion, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Pauline?
I think the only thing I would add is that, you know, in previous fiscal years, we've just been doing the bare minimum, right? Those meetings that we've had have been presentations and speakers, and the attendance has been rather low, especially post-COVID. It has not had a lot of, we've been meeting just to fulfill the requirements as opposed to having any meaningful progress or meaningful discussions. The topics have been of interest to the participants, but not a lot of high attendance and
Yep. Great. So I'd like to open it up to the folks that are on the call, both members of the Municipal Service Committee, and then specifically the folks that are the human service and social service folks that are with us, and what to Matt's question is, how can the council be the most helpful to member towns? So I'm going to open it up to comments, thoughts. Jump right on in. Information is it, do we want to maintain it as information sharing, kind of highlight some best practices, or do you think it's better to perhaps to get everyone to the human service professionals together and have, as Matt said, a facilitated discussion about what they would like to see, what would help them do their jobs better. So
I would love to attend 2 to 4 times a year and have a speaker. And I think after the speaker, maybe different agencies would have best practice.
Okay. Thank you, Janet, for sharing. Janet, what community are you with?
Southington.
Great. Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Other thoughts building off of Janet's?
Joel, and Director of Human Services for Manchester. I mean, I think I'd almost like to see a combination. I think there's a lot of value in information sharing and presentations, but one of the most productive and worthwhile meetings that I attend is an informal sort of group of human services directors and providers who get together every couple of months and talk about what we're seeing in our municipalities and discuss ways we can possibly regionalize efforts or just best practice. So I certainly value presentations and information, but I also value conversations and efforts that help me do my job on a daily basis. So I think if we can create a space for both and maybe get some, to your point, some time for human services folks to get together and sort of lead the conversation about where it should go, I think that'd be a great opportunity.
Thank you, Joel.
Can I pop in on that? Cindy Guerrieri from the town of Enfield. And building off of what Joel just spoke of, I'm not sure how many folks are aware, but I also am currently serving as the president of CLASS. And CLASS is the Connecticut Local Administrators of Social Services. So we actually do come together for both shared learning, and we are in the process of designing our regions. And so I'm wondering if there's an opportunity to find out that intersection. And not only with CLASS, but we know there's also the statewide Connecticut Youth Services Association. So I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for this group to kind of visit these other groups that are already meeting instead of creating another time and space to have another meeting.
Thank you, Cindy. Can I tease out a little bit what you mentioned? So can you explain to me when you talk about CLASS and setting up your regions? Can you help clarify that a little bit for me?
So we recently, in the last year, we did some strategic planning because CLASS needed a kind of refresher, especially coming out of COVID. And we determined that especially what we've learned through COVID, people like this, right? They like the virtual because it helps, it's efficient. You can get more people than if you're trying to pick a location. And so what we determined, instead of doing monthly get-togethers that used to happen, we determined that we would do twice a year very planned events with speakers on topics of interest to the more people. But in addition to that, have a regional conversation because everybody comes from a region that may have very different issues. Our issues in Enfield are different than in Greenwich. And so we wanted to establish a regional focus. CYSA is also organized that way, where they have regional groups that meet most regularly.
Great. Thank you, Cindy. Do you think that CROG would, the CROG communities, the 39 communities, would be a natural for CLASS? Or do you think there's, I can't recall how the Youth Services Bureau or regions are laid out, but do you think CLASS might be able to be coterminous with the CROG?
I do, because a significant number of our members are in this region. And then there is a cluster in the Fairfield County region, and they already kind of meet together. So I think it's a natural opportunity.
Well, Matt and Pauline, I think we may have found a little bit of a platform which to build upon. Certainly not here to recreate the wheel. And if there's opportunities to, you know, help strengthen class efforts and all, you know, all of our professionals, we encourage them to participate. And certainly, you know, over the years, that's been a great venue. So I like that. I like that thought. Anybody have additional thoughts? And that might work kind of to Joel's comment as well, that opportunity to share stories, share experiences, benchmark. Anybody have any additional thoughts, direction on that?
Peter, I'd like to weigh in a second.
Hey, Fred.
Hey. So one of the issues we've been dealing with, and I know we're not alone here, is and Matt kind of referenced it before, some of the past topics, the hoarding issues and some of the mental health issues, property maintenance issues is a big deal. And almost all of the frequent flyers, if you will, that we have in Wethersfield, there are mental health issues there. But I think the lack of the state's involvement in this group and the lack of teeth in maybe some of the in the laws that are out there prevent us from really doing much with these properties because, you know, we call the state, they'll send somebody out and they'll ask them, you know, do you know what year it is? Do you know who the president is? Okay, this person's fine, and walk away. And then we can't do anything beyond that, so long as there's not like an immediate health concern. But we have, like I said, a number of these properties and we can cite them, we can find them and lien their properties and go through this process for forever and a day. And our social services group has been out and, you know, tried to meet with these people and assist, and they just have no interest. And I think there's a might be an opportunity here where we can kind of combine some of the issues that we're having on the social services side. Cause like we have a team that we convene once a month on this issue, and it's the health department here. It's the, you know, it's our building department. It's the social services department. It's the fire marshal. It's the police. It's everybody. And we just kind of try to come up with solutions, but it's really, we get to this point where, you know, if the people don't want to be helped and they can answer whatever three questions the state asks when they knock on the door, then that's it. We're kind of stuck. And I just don't know if maybe there's a way that we can move beyond that and find a way that we can really provide these individuals. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we can all identify with that, with those similar challenges, Fred, be it hoarding or property maintenance. There's always seems to be underlying challenge there, which come back to social/human service needs as a component. So, so Matt, does the possibility of maybe following up with some conversations with Cindy and the folks, members of CLASS, might that meet the, definitely the, in my mind, the spirit of the Human Services Coordinating Council? And maybe that might be a starting, a launching pad to,
I believe so, Peter. You know, I really appreciate the suggestions from Janet and Joel and Cindy and Fred's contributions as well. And Cindy, if it's okay with you, maybe we can reach out to you and talk about how we can collaborate, mm-hmm. CROG and CLASS for this region.
That'd be great.
Well, great. I appreciate all the folks who joined us today. Anything else relative to human services? While we got you here, Joel?
Is there any teeth behind, you know, the language that says we're supposed to have representation from the state in this? I mean, is there anything we can do to compel some of that participation? Because I do think that that's a critical piece of our conversations and the work we do is often there's a disconnect between what we see in our towns and how they see it from the state level, and the more opportunities we have to bring them into those conversations at a very sort of local level, I think the better off we are in human services. So I don't know if there's any teeth there, if it's more a matter of relationship building and just finding that those right representatives, but if I could suggest or encourage anything, it would definitely be to figure out how we make that happen.
Great. Thank you very much, Joel. I'm personally not that familiar with the structure at the state department at this point in time. I do know, just as a side light, the new commissioner at the Department of Public Health has restructured, and one of her deputy commissioners is assigned to be that liaison on a statewide basis with local health departments and health districts, which is a breath of fresh air from my perspective relative to how this Connecticut DPH has communicated with municipalities, at least in my time here in the state. So maybe there's something along that line. I don't know the structure very well, as I say, with social services, but something I certainly will poke around a little bit. Matt, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that as well, but I do like the idea of having them at the table as often as possible.
Yeah, thank you, Peter, and thank you, Joel, for raising that issue. You know, we can certainly bring it to the commissioner's attention. You know, some of them may not even be familiar with the requirement. I think Maureen had her hand raised. Maureen, I wasn't sure if there was anything on the history you wanted to share.
Yeah, I was just going to share that at the kickoff meeting, we did have some state designees, not the directors of the departments, but we did have some designees at the kickoff meeting. That was a very well-attended meeting, and that was the last well-attended meeting.
So that was way back when, right? So again, some of them may not be familiar with the requirement. So we'll certainly bring it to their attention. And if indeed we could at least get a designee from the various state departments, you know, someone who would be a good resource for us. I think that would be helpful to Joel's point.
Great. All righty. I think that's been a good discussion. And again, thank you very much to all the human services and social service folks that have joined us today. You're more than welcome to stay on board and listen to our next steps. And I'm not sure if we have the broadband piece with David at this point in time. I'm not sure if I'm being late. I'm not up to speed. Not very good as a chairperson, am I today?
No, that's all right, Peter. You're doing great. We don't have the broadband discussion today. We wanted to talk about this consultancy idea.
Great. Great. What? Probably why I'm on the wrong meeting agenda. That could be a problem. I'm on 221. I was on vacation on 221. That tells you where my brain is a month later. So, all righty. I will catch up eventually. So all yours, Matt.
All right. Thank you, Peter. And I also want to add my thanks to our human services professionals for joining today's call. That's exactly what we wanted. The conversation we just had was exactly what we hoped for. So thank you so much. So this next item, it's a rough idea that I have that Pauline is supportive of, and we broached this with CROG's executive committee and wanted to do the same with you. So then thinking about a pilot program, this is something we would do as a trial. And under this, CROG would maintain a list of qualified people who are willing to work on short-term projects or assignments in our member towns. So what are some of the examples? Examples would include serving as an interim town manager or a finance director, or maybe even leading a small capital project. You know, and I could see these people working either as a temporary employee of the member town, or maybe even as a consultant. And I'm trying to be responsive to requests I've received from our members over the past year. You know, oftentimes people are looking for an interim town manager or someone who could run an ARPA project or an BIL project. You know, maybe on a very temporary basis. So as a pilot or as a trial, I wouldn't view this venture as a revenue generator or a new business line for CROG. I know that CCM has tried this off and on over the years with limited success based on my knowledge of the CCM program. And I would envision that the financial transaction would occur between the member town and the employer consultant. So CROG wouldn't be involved in that main financial transaction there. We would be basically the matchmaker. Yeah, I would reserve the right, though, for CROG to charge a minimal administrative fee if we think we need to do that in the future, you know, assuming, let's say this program is widely successful and we might have to increase our insurance coverage or it requires more effort to manage. So I would reserve the right for a small administrative fee in that instance, but I'm not envisioning that at all off the bat. Would also expect the consultant or the temporary employee to maintain their own insurance, especially if they're working as an independent contractor, and to handle their own tax documentation. Again, our primary role here at CROG would be to occasionally go out and build and maintain a list of qualified folks who are willing to serve in this capacity. And I do think the semi-retired group of municipal professionals would probably be a decent candidate pool for us. Like a recently retired town manager or finance director, as an example, you know, someone who's still interested in maybe part-time work or project-based work. You know, I think those folks could be really good candidates for this type of initiative. Pauline, I'm not sure if there's anything else you wanted to add, and then we can get the input from our members here. And the executive committee was supportive of the idea.
No, I don't think I have anything to add.
Oh, Peter, I think you're muted.
My staff always wishes I was muted. So questions, thoughts, ideas on Matt's thoughts. So.
I would just say I think it's a great idea. I think it's not a real heavy lift on CROG's part. but it could have a great benefit to the municipalities. Certainly, we have times of run into where we have gaps in our, you know, coverage, whether it be a finance director or somebody else, and having that a list of names available that you know, for short term, whether it be as a consultant or as a short term employee, I think would be a great benefit. I'm a little unclear as to how far, you know, would it just be executive level and project manager type positions, or would it, you know, go down from there to an accountant? Or I guess we already have the building official and possibly assessor covered, but, you know, have you thought of going beyond the executive level positions?
Not initially, Bob, you know, thinking and also in an effort to keep this manageable and thinking of executive level and project-based work. And again, it's largely responsive to inquiries I've received from you and our fellow members, or the members over the past year.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Just a question. How would you put out an RFQ for whatever you're looking for? And then, like, how would you, I mean, it's probably a small enough candidate pool that you'd be familiar with those that are submitting, but how would you vet them?
A great question, Grace. So we were thinking we would certainly periodically put out some type of solicitation. It could be an RFQ, it could just be something analogous to a job posting. And, you know, they'd be required to submit their qualifications, if you will, and we'd have something of an interview process.
Right. Well, I like the idea. I like that opportunity to be a little bit of a clearinghouse. And I'm going to say it again and just want to make sure that we aren't, that staff's not taking on too much, but I do think it's a gap that needs to be filled. And if there can be, instead of all of us going through our Rolodex, if you will, our mental Rolodex of who's out there, and if there's a place maybe to go there, and there's at least one roster, that would be certainly a time saver. And as you said, kind of a matchmaker role. I have the first job position, Matt, if you want. So, you know, I'll send it along to you. Anybody knows, everybody has a retired or has available facilities manager. We're looking for one. So, all righty. I guess I see people nodding their heads, Matt. So, I guess that's our municipal services committee input.
Great, great. All right, we'll keep you posted as we move forward.
Okay. Information sharing. Who has a burning question or information that they'd like to share with the group? How's everyone's budgets doing? Anybody double digit expenditure increase? Anybody Board of Education's double digits? I've heard a couple out there.
Our Board of Ed just presented at 5.85%, which more or less what we figured was going to come in.
I know Windsor's board passed, I think it's 4.8, which is high for them. They've been in 3% for the last 4 or 5 years. So, okay.
Yeah, Plainville's in the same boat. Board of Ed came in at 4.75 and the town came in at 5.35. We've had a lot of new people come in, hired at higher rates than their predecessors. And that it's all payroll. That's really what the that, and obviously some inflation, but a big driver for the Plainville budget was the payroll, pension, contractual obligations.
Speaking of pension, all of our the MERS folks are really happy, huh? That was a nice phone call last week.
I was just going to add to that as well. Manchester came in at 5.9%, and then we got the new MERS increase. So we're up to 6.3-ish now. So we're working to reduce that down a little bit.
Yeah, I think we're just probably going to be in that vicinity of about 6.25%, maybe a little bit more, trying to add some capital in.
Makes me feel better.
Hey, it's right on inflation, Kasia. Right at inflation.
Yep.
All righty. So future agenda items, always looking for agenda items. We had probably about a year ago, Matt, maybe 9 months ago, there was a discussion about stormwater management, and certainly an issue that is not going to go away. So Matt, I don't know if you have anything particular on these, but these have been identified in previous conversations. And so
I'm happy to elaborate, Peter.
Yeah.
So recall before we started the recruitment for our director of regional planning and development, we had an initial discussion about land use and development services that we provide to our member towns. Now that Caitlin has been appointed and will be assuming that role on April 1st, we'd like to continue that discussion with her, you know, later on this spring. Again, looking for your input like we had earlier today. I thought that was great. How can we best serve you? Similarly, the stormwater management discussion, Maureen worked really hard to submit 2 grants to the state, and we're hoping to hear back this month. We applied for $500,000 in funding to assist with assessing the viability of regional approaches to stormwater management. So hopefully we hear something favorable from DEEP sometime this month, if not early next month. And then we can continue to have that conversation. And I would also suggest we talk about workforce development for local government in particular. Elizabeth Sanderson and I have been very involved in a couple of initiatives with Capital Workforce Partners, UConn School of Public Policy, and more recently with CCM. Peter, I know you participated with us in a conversation that the DAS convened specific to building code officials. So we'd like to have an opportunity to fill you all in on the work we've been doing and to solicit your ideas. Elizabeth and I, along with Capital Workforce Partners and UConn School of Public Policy, we have formed this loose task force to look at workforce development in the public sector more generally. And we're gonna be meeting next month, and we're gonna be recommending that group form 3 to 4 subcommittees that are tasked with developing career pathways for various disciplines. And we at CROG, we're gonna volunteer to work on the local government pathway. So we'll need to identify a select and more manageable number of positions that we think where there's the most critical need, where we don't have an existing pipeline, and what we think could be feasible and how we would best achieve that. So we'd like to have that conversation with this group too.
Great. One other topic that comes to mind and is perhaps a report out, Matt, when ready, is a report on the overview of the solid waste study. And I'm not sure how that timing with the policy board, reporting out to the policy board, but that one item that I think this group
We'd be happy to do that, Peter. And before you were able to join us today, I talked about the fact that we're going to have a very important presentation on that topic at tomorrow's policy board meeting. And actually think the policy board might need more than one meeting with it. You know, get the presentation tomorrow from our consulting team, and you know, the policy board may want to continue it as old business. We'll see what you all prefer tomorrow, but we'd be happy to have that discussion here with this group too.
There may, you know, certainly there's some things there that there's different players on this group than the policy board, but I think there's definitely some action items that are going to come out of that report, both short-term and long-term. So I'm very interested in the workforce development. So perhaps we can talk a little bit about that's the appropriate, if May is the appropriate, or excuse me, April is the appropriate time for that discussion, Matt, or not, or if that will be ready at that point or not. I'm very curious in what all of us are doing and thinking. We're here in Windsor, we're trying to develop a more formalized internship program, as well as try to get into the high school early on to be able to just expose them from a career awareness perspective. That love to hear what other people are doing or what other experiences you have from other parts of the country, just to be able to share that, those inroads. So we will work and see, maybe that could be in April, if not, then the May meeting.
May might be better for that one, Peter, because we've got our task force meeting in late April. So if we could discuss workforce development with this group in May, and maybe okay. next month we could focus on land use and waste management.
Okay. Any other topics that folks, Lori?
With, I don't know if it goes in with land use, but we've had a few solar farms that want to come in, and there's no real regs or anything else. They're taking farmland away, but they think they want to stay in as farmland because they're throwing a beehive and a few sheep in there. Mm-hmm. So we've been going round and round with that. I don't know if anybody else is having problems with that.
I know there's a lot of folks looking and kicking, quote unquote, kicking tires, trying to find sites.
Yeah, but it's nice to have some
the
regs set up.
There may, I'm not sure. I know that there's a few happening out in Litchfield County. There may be a resource to look at. I know East Windsor has East Windsor and Simsbury both have very large.
I met with East Windsor yesterday and a few other department heads, but they're just still learning also. And they make a lot of noise. And that's one thing that people don't realize is how much noise the humming is pretty significant.
Tom, have you heard that in Simsbury with the?
I haven't. So the solar farm here kind of came in right before me, but I haven't gotten a call in the last 5 years about someone about noise from it. But I can try and dig up any information about it and send it over to you.
Thank you.
I know that, you know, that was a long battle in Simsbury. So maybe there's some lessons to be learned and shared, Lori, with Simsbury's experience.
Thank you.
Any other items to share at this point? All right. Kim and Pauline, I have down May, excuse me, I keep on wanting to be, first I was in February, now I'm going to May. What month is it in, anyway?
You can't go on vacation anymore, Peter.
My goodness gracious.
April 18th is our next meeting.
It's only Tuesday and I'm already confused. April 18th.
Yeah.
So we'll put together that agenda. Great input. Again, thank you very much to all the social service folks and human service folks that joined us. Appreciate that. And if there's nothing else, we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See y'all.